You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Football season's here. That means it's time for wings, beer, and countless TVs full of gridiron at B-dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Wrapping it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by the good folks at Liberty Ford. And let's go ahead and bring in now our producer, Dave DiNatale, as we take another foray into the mailbag, hashtag AskCBD.
Yeah, tweet the show at Browns_daily like Sarge did at Sarge1208. Says, guys, will the Browns offensive line be able to hold up all game against the Denver defense? Sarge says, well, I doubt it. What do you guys think?
That is going to be a big challenge.
It is. It is. And I think that there's going to be ebbs and flows in this football game that a strong football team would persevere, giving them an opportunity to have that possession or make that stop to get the football back to your offense with the game on the line. This, to me, does not set up as a runaway for either side, and it's going to be a boxing match. You know, who can take the punches and stay in the football game, stay up, and create that opportunity for you to, as I said, make that play, make that stop, and give the ball back to your offense and have an opportunity to kill the game.
So it's going to be tough. Nobody has been more effective at getting to the quarterback this year than Von Miller. He's got 29 pressures on the season. DeMarcus Ware, second with 25. He's going to be out. They also have Shaquille Barrett, who has been behind DeMarcus Ware, played some snaps with him. On his 43 snaps, 7 pressures. They've got Shane Ray as well. He's got 5 pressures. All of them, all 4 of their outside linebackers. Now, there won't be Ware. So all 3 of them have pass rush productivities of 10% or better. So they have all been elite. This is going to be a big challenge for the Browns offensive line. But if last week was any indication, again, against a team that was a little bit beaten up, they were down one of their pass rushers, that the Browns have an opportunity. They've moved up now to the 4th best pass protecting line so far in terms of allowing a pressure per drop back in the NFL. If they can keep that going, it's going to be key, because I think the Browns will continue to struggle to run the football out of traditional running sets.
Yes.
They're going to have to be kind of spread out. It's going to be a lot on those linemen and maybe a chip from a tight end here, a chip from a running back there. But that's going to be the premier matchup to determine whether or not the Browns offense can have success in this game. It's going to be their ability to give Josh McCown time to pick up the blitzes and really just handle the pressure of the guys up front led by Von Miller.
Right. I agree with that to a certain extent. And I think just as the Tennessee Titans could not do against the Cleveland Browns, and just as the New York Jets and Oakland Raiders did against us, having us on a throw clock, you know, so having to protect a lot of short intermediate routes, calculated, where you know what you're gonna get from a coverage standpoint, and have Josh McCown getting rid of the football and avoiding those opportunities for those game changing sacks, the forced fumbles, and so on and so forth on a repeated basis by a team that just brings one or two outside linebackers a lot of the time.
Yeah, you got to be able to handle them up front. All right, Dino, what else we got?
From Bob Rose at BR Cleve says, guys, agree or disagree? TJ Ward is better than Dante Whitner. Clearly, he's younger, but do you agree with that statement?
He's definitely younger, and he seems to be in a system right now that is taking advantage of his skill set. The reason that the Browns, as I understood it, made the move on from him is they preferred Dante Whitner in pass coverage to TJ Ward. I think Dante Whitner would tell you he's not off to the best start, but I'd say last week was arguably his best game so far this year, and he's coming on strong in that department. TJ Ward's still not known as a cover safety. He's much better as a run support safety, and I think that was the decision that they made when they went that direction. I'm not a coach. I'm not inclined to say there, but obviously you do like the fact that he's a little bit younger. I don't love, for example, the grades from Pro Football Focus, but they do have Dante Whitner even this season graded out as a better coverage safety right now than they do TJ Ward. TJ Ward's been targeted 15 times. He's given up 11 catches for 94 yards on the season, quarterback rating of 89.3. Dante Whitner has been targeted 16 times. He's given up 10 catches on the season. So similar. They're similar. It was a personal preference. I think they wanted the leadership of Dante Whitner. But obviously, TJ Ward looks pretty good and has been making some big plays in what is the number one ranked defense in the NFL.
He has. Dino, you can keep it rolling. Dive back into that mailbag.
Yeah, from the Battle guys at the Battle Music, they want to know, Will we see a Johnny Manziel QB package of some sort or a Justin Gilbert wide receiver package this week?
Justin Gilbert wide receiver package, I'm going to say absolutely not. When you have wide receivers having the game that they did last week against the Baltimore Ravens, of course they will be challenged. And I don't understand why anyone who would want that package when you're playing the best defense in the National Football League and who have great corners against a guy who's never run a wide receiver route in the National Football League. So that's just silly to me. When it comes to the Johnny package, I think it's going to be something that gets limited reps each and every week in practice and something you have readily available. They might just pick one game or the next against a certain opponent that they feel gives them the best opportunity to execute and take advantage of the Johnny package. Whether that's this week or not, I don't know.
I think we might bust that out, work on it, and bust that out maybe on the Thursday night game against Cincinnati. Short week, something you've prepared for all the time. I think you're going to save that for a division game. But who knows? We'll see.
One or two more here for you guys from Mike at Mikester110. He says, I'm feeling good to talk about quarterbacks with Josh McCown at quarterback for this year and beyond if it's earned. Now, he says, if a quarterback is our plan maybe in the draft, does Johnny Manziel become bait?
I would hope you have an opportunity to evaluate Johnny Manziel before you decide to make a move like that. That's what I would hope. But obviously, if they do go into the draft and a quarterback is there that they love, I would imagine they can either keep the two of them and see who pans out the best, or there could be a scenario where that happens. But that is total speculation, and that is certainly so far off that I really have no idea.
Right, and I think there's two sides of the coin for it for me. A, Have we seen enough of Johnny Manziel to truly evaluate him as a National Football League quarterback? Or B, has Johnny Manziel shown enough in his time in the National Football League to the point where another team can really solidify what they're getting in him to make it worth our while to move him?
Right. It would have to be something, an offer that you couldn't refuse. But I certainly think I want an opportunity to see what happens with Johnny Manziel when he gets an opportunity to play, whenever the case may be, whenever that time comes.
And also, guys, in the mailbag from Joseph San Juan, he says, is it Jim O'Neill or the players who are really responsible for the defense underperforming so far? Why are we not putting players in position to match their talent, i.e. Paul Kruger, from Joseph?
I believe that this scheme has been built and tweaked this offseason to better fit the player's skills. And as we've heard from this locker room, and every time they have an opportunity to speak to the media, they say they're close, which we don't see on Sundays, and they basically say that one person is at fault not doing their job on every play that there's a significant chunk yardage run, chunk yardage pass. And that is something they have to get cleaned. You have to get cleaned up. You have to have 11 doing their job a high majority of the time. Dino, when you give us how much time we have left in our show, just so you know from now on, it's absolutely irrelevant. So
okay.
We'll stop when we're ready.
We will stop when it's
very
time.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you, Dino. Appreciate you, though.
So when you talk about that, and you know we're close, et cetera, I think everybody's to blame right now. Until it gets turned around, the coaches have to coach better, the players have to play better. It's just that simple when you're struggling as a defensive unit. Have you ever been part of a defense where you weren't producing the bottom line, but you guys felt you were close to it, and then you actually did turn that corner and start locking people down? How much of it is confidence as well?
A lot of it is confidence. A lot of it is the swagger associated with playing good defense the way that you want to or set out to play defense. But a lot of the places that I've been when we've had, and it's only been a few times where we've had some struggles, changes happen though. You know, I mean, and I'm just in our case, it's a safety sat in place of a young player. A linebacker sat on certain downs and distances to give someone else an opportunity. You just can't be status quo, you know, with the same guys making the same mistakes each and every week. Eventually, it catches up to you.
He's playing us out. It's like the Oscars.
Jeez.
Playing us out. All right, tomorrow, Thursday, we're going to start to get into kind of the get to know.
You got plenty
these
of time.
Guys.
Slow down, bro.
I know. I'm going to slow down. Careful. Okay. Get to know these Denver Broncos. We're going to preview the positional matchups on both sides of the ball as well as special teams. It's Coordinator Thursday, so we'll hear from the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, John DeFilippo, and the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, Jim O'Neill. We got to thank Dave DiNatale, our great producer, for being with us here today as well. And certainly want to thank all of you for joining us. Thanks to Mike Pett and thanks to Josh McCown. If you missed the Josh McCown interview from earlier today, you can get that at clevelandbrowns.com and, of course, the Browns mobile app later today when we post the podcast of today's show. For Matt Wilhelm, I am Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys. And thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford. Hashtag 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Out early.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.